Father Heaven, we want to thank you, Grace Heavenly Father, for this opportunity once again to sit at our feet to study thy word. Father, we want to thank you, Father, for the apostle and the first family, Father, who has given us the opportunity to teach your word, Father. We pray, Father, as this semester starts, that the Holy Spirit would just rest upon myself and the students, and we hear things we never heard and experience things we never experienced. We ask you right now, Father, that the grace of God will fall in this room, Father. We ask that the Holy Spirit would just begin to have his way and blow through this room and cause revelation insight to change our lives. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, we want to welcome you to the first year, of course. One of the hardest things for me to do, is that since they switched the schedule around, is to preach behind the apostle. That's one of the hardest things you can ever do. But with the help of the Holy Ghost, we're going to try to teach the word tonight. One of the key things I learned from the apostle, in order to be an efficient teacher or an efficient pastor, is to learn to accept your inabilities. Learn to accept your shortcomings, to be able to allow the Holy Spirit to speak through you. Because if you know anything, you don't know nothing. All right? So we have this book we're going to teach this year called Prayer, Ian Bond's Own Prayer. And tonight we're going to try to get through maybe chapter one, maybe part of chapter two. What I find very interesting with this school and the classes that the apostle uses is that he doesn't just get any type of book. Any book, any material that we've studied or we have is something he's living. You understand? If it's not something he's living, it's also something he's already experienced but happened to find it in book form. So I'm very enthused about teaching this book on prayer, because you can't really teach something unless you're applying it in your own life. It won't be effective. The Bible says the letter without the spirit is what? Dead. And that's one thing about this school, that anybody can get this material. You can buy the book all day long, but the way it comes out, the way it's presented, won't be the same, because you have to have that type of anointing on it in order for it to be effective. So one of my prayers and desires for you this semester is, as we study this book of prayer, that not only are we studying it, but we begin to apply it, and through the semester, all our lives are going to be changed simply because of what we're studying. All right, the first part we're going to deal with tonight, we're going to deal with the purpose, I think it is, the purpose in prayer. The purpose in prayer. And the first chapter is going to be the force that shapes the world. The purpose of prayer, first chapter, the force that shapes the world. Now, I'm going to do everything in my ability to stay calm, because there's some good stuff. And, you know, they got an old song in the world that say, I get it from my mama, but no, I get it from my daddy. Because I'm going to say some things that's not in this book. So pay close attention. One of the first things I want to open up with is this quote I found about prayer. It says, to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible to be living without breathing. I'm going to say it again. To be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be living without breathing. In other words, you can't live without breathing. So there's no way you can say you're a Christian and you don't pray. Impossible. And what we're dealing with this apostolic anointing, we're not just talking about praying, but we're talking about praying for results. We're talking about getting something. When we speak, something got to happen. The prayers of God, the prayer of God, saints, are the capital stock in heaven by which Christ carries on his great work upon the earth. All right? Now, I like this statement they're about to give here. The earth is changed and revolutionized, and angels move on more powerful, more rapid wings, and God's policy is shaped when the prayers of his people are more numerous and more efficient. Let's park here for a second, because we can bring a couple words down. I like the first statement that says the earth, it does two things. It's changed and revolutionized. Of course, you know what change is, right? So what he's saying here is that when we begin on earth, when the apostle begins to teach, he talks about this kingdom of government from heaven to earth. When we begin to pray properly, we begin to bring heaven to earth. Things begin to change, all right? But I like the second part. He says that things are also revolutionized. I like that word. I looked it up. Revolutionized come from the root word revolution. Now watch what revolution means. It's a a forcible overthrow of a government or a social order in favor of a new system. God Almighty. So he's saying here that when we pray, when we get that heaven from earth connection, things are changed. But watch this here. What's the scripture that says, we take it by, what is it? The kingdom suffers violence and the violent take it by force. And it says, what is revolution? A forcible overthrow of a government. See, so when we begin to pray properly and use this apostolic anointing from kingdom to earth, we overthrow Satan's government here on earth. We overthrow everything they're trying to do, because see what happens is when we are praying properly, we don't have to go out and hold a picket sign and march and say, no gay marriage. I don't have to, Paul, go hold a meeting outside and say, we want prayer back in school. No, we'll handle it. Just get a couple of saints together and begin to forcefully overthrow a government through prayer. See, so we're going to see prayer differently now. Or it is a social order, watch this here, in favor of a new system. You heard the apostle talk about it tonight. What we're literally trying to do with this apostolic anointing is change the system in which we operate. Because what's happening right now, things have been in the body of Christ, things are so off that when you begin to teach truth, watch this here, they're not able to recognize truth. So now the apostle, the prophet, they have to go in and begin to dig up, reroot, replant things because it's been so out of order. All right. The most important lesson we can learn is how to pray. How to pray. Indeed, we must pray so that our prayers take hold of God. The apostle alluded to it. Now, the best story you can think of is Jacob. When Jacob began to wrestle with that angel, he wouldn't let go. See, that's how we have to be when we pray. When you're praying for your child, when you're praying for your family, when you're praying for your ministry, when you're praying for your husband, when you're praying for your wife, I don't care how I look, don't let go. Because prayer takes hold of God. See, when we begin to pray now, we're not just going to pray vain prayers. We're just not praying to sound good. You know, let's go back. Here we are once more again, Father, in the house of the Lord. Father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. See, we thought that's what prayer, that ain't prayer. That's entertainment. Prayer is simply having a boldness about yourself. Lord, this Roger. I need you right now. I'm expecting you to move right now, Lord. Lord, if you don't move, I'm going to tell everybody that you didn't bag me up. See, that's a prayer with confidence. That's a prayer from heaven to earth, knowing that, God, I'm not letting go till you answer me. The man who has done the most and the best praying, watch this here, is the most immortal. Because prayer don't die. Boy, I'm about to cut loose here. Perhaps the lips that uttered them are closed in death, or the heart that felt them have ceased to beat. But prayer, somebody say prayers, live before God, and God's heart is set on them. Prayers outlive the lives of those who utter them. They outlive generation. They outlive an age and outlive a world. Hear me, my brothers and sisters. Prayers are so powerful. Prayers are so powerful that even when you leave this earth, those prayers are still going into the ears of God. Because he said, as long as God can hear, or his heart is being, listen, oh God, watch. As long as God's heart is set on them, watch this, wait, let me find it. Perhaps the lips that uttered them closed in death, or the heart that felt them may have ceased beat, but the prayers live before God, and God's heart is set on them. Prayers outlive the lives of those who utter them. They outlive a generation. They outlive an age and outlive a world. So, as you pray right now for your children, your grandchildren's grandchildren, even when we dead and gone, as you pray now, God's still hearing them prayer. Your prayer won't stop. That is one of the most powerful things I ever heard in my life. That even when I'm dead and gone, God's still hearing my prayer for my daughter, for my son, for my loved ones, for their children. That's why the Bible says, I'm going to bless you more, you and your children's children. Why? Because them prayers going to carry them on. Prayer is no fitfall, short-lived thing. It is no voice, it is no voice crying unheard and unheeded in the silence. God hear you. Although things may not be moving like you want to move, God listening. Well, if God listen, the question is, what you been saying? Could it be he not answering because I ain't saying nothing? Because we're going to get into it later. He begins to talk about you have not because you ask not. Watch this. It is a voice that goes into, there it is. It is a voice. I knew it was right there. It is a voice that goes into God's ear. And it lives as long as God's ear is open to holy pleas. And as long as God's heart is alive to holy thing. See, God constantly hearing your prayers. Now watch what he says. God's ear is open to holy pleas. Now, once again, it's an old example we all use. He said, say holy pleas. He ain't talking about praying for nobody else's husband because he treating, no. God ain't hearing that. You can stop praying that. He gone, she gone. You understand? But he's still hearing holy pleas. I like this here. Go, for your notes, God, write this down. Psalms 34 and 15. I'm going to read it from the, it's called the God's Word Translation. And look at what it says. It says, the Lord's eyes are on righteous people. His ears hear their cry for help. See, he's constantly watching you. But not only is he watching you, his ears are always open to hear your cry. Not only are he open to hear your cry, he's there to help. But he needs a praying people. God, there are some things that God wants to change on this earth right now. As the apostle talks about it, as we begin to try to restructure this kingdom, this kingdom we have here, as we restructure it, things going to begin to happen, going to blow people's mind. We just going to open our mouth. What y'all need change? The government's going to have to call the church and say, look, this needs changing. I know who to call. Let's call the church. Let's find some praying people. Because see, it's all through the Bible. We're going to look at it. When kings got in trouble, they called for their prophets. They called for the apostles. They called for praying people. The mighty success that come to God's cause are created and carried on by prayer in God's day of power. When God's church comes into the mightiest inheritance of the mightiest faith, and mightiest prayer, the angelic days of power activity will occur. Go to Acts 16. You know it already, but we're going to look at it anyway. He said, when mighty prayer occurs, the angelic days of powerful activity will occur. See, when we begin to start praying right, praying properly, holding on to God, not letting go, as Jacob did, then we're going to start seeing some powerful activities occur. See, the Bible wasn't just written just for entertainment. It's real. And God's saying yesterday, today, and forever. So if God did it for one, he'll do it for. He is not a respecter of what? Person. So we look here in Acts 16, verse 25. And at midnight. Somebody may be in a midnight right now. Paul and Silas sang all night long. Danced all night long. Complained all night long. Called their best friend and just boo-hooed all night long. No. Despite the situation they were in, the first thing they did was they prayed. And I'm not going to go read the whole scripture, but it goes on to say when they prayed, how something began to happen. The walls, the jail cells had to open because the angelic powers have to move when people begin to pray to God and lock on to God and won't let go to God move. Powerful things will begin to happen. And the church has to get back to that place where we understand prayer is not just something. Listen to me. I'm getting ahead of myself because we're talking about late chat. Prayer is work, boy. Yeah. I know you get up in the morning, you got to go to this job, you got to go to this plant, wherever you got to go, you get a morning off like, what I met with these folk this morning. Your kids won't get up. I'm late and everything. I ain't got my clothes wrinkled. I ain't nothing. No. The coffee ain't right. No, you got to get up before your feet hit the floor and your eyes wake up. Lord, good morning. What do you have for me in store today? Wake up with attitude. See, pray, once again, we got to understand what prayer, that's a form of prayer, talking to God, communicating with God. Wake up. God, I love you this morning, God. I worship you this morning, God, and begin to pray. Lord, I pray for whomever. I pray for my heart. I pray it's going to be a good day. See, all day long, you got to pray. I ain't saying you got to hold a Bible and sit there, worship. That's what I said. I'm saying while you're at your desk, you might get ready. Lord, thank you for this lunch I'm about to eat. Somebody unable to eat lunch today, Lord. I remember when I used to have to borrow $5 after I got paid, Lord, to eat. Lord, thank you. You see, so it keeps you that mindset. When you get home, Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, it's a hard job, but Lord, I thank you for having a job. Somebody don't have a job. When you lay down and watch the news, Lord, thank you that wasn't my child that got killed, Lord. Lord, thank you that my family's okay, Lord. And you go to sleep with them on your mind. See, in prayer, when that happens, I'm going to show you something. Oh, Lord Jesus. I'm telling you, it's so good. Watch. God's conquering days are when the saints have given themselves to mightiest prayer. The life of the church is the highest life. It is, it, and its office is to pray. I got a question for you. Don't ask me. Just ponder on it. What would it be like? Well, we have an example. I hear you, Lord. In Genesis, when the people put their mind on one accord, there was nothing they couldn't accomplish. What would it be like if we can get a house full of people of the body of Christ and begin to pray and hold on to God and tell God we ain't moving till he changed something? I wonder what would happen. If it was just one church, what would happen? If it was two churches, what would happen? If it was three churches, what would happen? Well, I see what's happening. As the apostle trains us, as he trains LTMA, we got churches now all over the country who will begin to be on one accord. I wonder what the end result will be. If we can catch on and lock on to this thing called prayer. Watch. When God's house on the earth is a house of prayer, then God's house in heaven is busy and powerful in its plans and movements. Isaiah 56 and 7 says, for my house shall be called a house of what? For all people. Now, I love this, that word. I see one word here that caught my attention. When God's house on the earth is a house of prayer, then God's house in heaven is busy. The apostle alluded to something earlier. I was listening while I was sitting in class, and I wrote it down right quick. He said, we begin to talk about Jacob. And remember, the angels were going up and down. They were carrying stuff from heaven to earth. He was taking the prayers from earth, taking them to heaven, and bringing them back. Taking the prayers from earth to heaven, bringing heaven back. Watch this. Go to Genesis. Is it 12? I think it is. Let's see. Genesis 28. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Genesis 28, look at verse 12. Now, I'm saying that for a reason, because my statement was, when God's house on the earth is a house of prayer, God's house in heaven is busy. All right? And I told you that we're supposed to always be praying. Now, I'm going to show you how powerful prayer is. Remember I told you that prayer, when we looked in the book, prayer will outlive that person, right? And I told you we should always pray. All right? Now, watch this. Because I saw something when Pastor was talking about this ladder. Look at verse 12. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth. And the top of it reached heavens, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it, taken from from earth to heaven, heaven to earth. All right? Y'all see that, right? Remember, I told you we're supposed to always pray, right? Well, I see something why we have to constantly be in prayer here. He says, because prayer outlives us, right? Well, we have to realize we are a spirit. We're a tripart being, all right? So we got to get out of the flesh to understand prayer properly. Because now I see here the first three words in verse 12 was, and he what? He wasn't woke. He was dreaming when he saw this. What you trying to say, young preacher? Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. That when you have a prayer life properly, that although your body sleep, your spirit still carrying in prayers. But it can't carry what's not in it. So even when your body resting, if your spirit man is full, your spirit still... God is a spirit. They that worship God must worship in what? Spirit and in truth. All right? So, and we are a spirit. So the Bible says God never sleeps on. So, and he is a. So our spirit can't sleep or slumber. So my spirit still seeking after God, even while I'm sleeping, if I got something in me. That's why I got to go to bed with God on my mind, praying on my mind. Because even though I'm asleep, my prayer's still going. And while my prayer's going, even while I'm asleep, God still now can talk to me. That's why I learned from the apostle. You heard the apostle earlier, he said, put the bread down. You heard what he said? So when you sleep, see, I feel, boy, I'm working on something right now. That was a revelation God gave me months ago. I don't know what it is. Because I'm supposed to wake up and write it down. I woke up, I said, good God Almighty. I'm going to write it down, I wake up. And God, next month, it's gone. I may never get again. Maybe years from now. Prayer. Then his earthly armies are clothed with trumpets and spoils of victory, and his enemies are defeated on every hand. All right. God shapes the world by prayer. How he shaped the world? You might see that again. The more praying there is in the world, the better the world will be, and the mightier the forces against every evil. The more prayer, watch this here. Oh, there it is. Prayer in one phase of operation is a disinfectant and a preventative. Now watch this. I love this because it says one phase of prayer. So one phase of prayer in its operation is what? A disinfectant and a what? Preventative. All right. Let me get back to my notes now. Because I got something for you. I sure do. All right. Watch this. A disinfectant, of course, you know, men, y'all don't do too much disinfecting. Women do. So they know more about this than we do. Because they always disinfecting everything. I don't care what I do. I put a glass in my ice cream. Shh. I said, what are you doing? It's just a glass. You understand? But what a disinfectant does, watch the definition of disinfectant. It literally means, watch this here, to clean or kill any microorganisms that have may come through the air source. All right? So in other words, I'm killing some germs. In other words, Ebonic is speaking. We're killing germs. That's in the air. You know, somebody sneeze, they start spraying. In other words, they're killing something that's in the air. The Bible says that he's the prince of the... So when I pray, I'm disinfecting the air. See, I can't see the germs, but I know it's there somewhere. So if I see you sneeze, I got to disinfect. But what prayer does... Prayer disinfects before you sneeze. So I got the air clear. So if the air clear, I can hear now. I can see better. And it also says it's a preventative. Watch what a preventative is. It it reduces the risk of contracting an infection. Preventative medicines. I'm taking this to reduce the risk of contracting infection, because I understand something. The enemy will attack. But when I pray, I reduce the chance of him really attacking. Because he know I got some angels at my house. He know I got some blood on my poles. So it's a preventative measure that he said, I can't. If I do come, I need to take about 5 or 10 of y'all demons with me, because she cutting up over there. I can't go by myself. So, but if you pray hard enough, you pray long enough, hold on to God, I ain't going. Devil, you can say what you want. I'm not going down there. Because they doing something that's preventative. I'm trying to attack their marriage, but they keep praying together. Lord have mercy. I'm trying to get them a cut up at work, but she still keep being nice to that woman. The very life of prosperity and God's cause, even in existence, depends on prayer. And the advance and triumph of his cause depends on one thing, that we ask him. Remember we saw that? That we ask? Look what he says. He said, ask of me. That is condition. God desires a praying people, willing and obedient. Now, let's stop right there. You can pray. I want you to pray. But you have to be willing and obedient to do what God says. If you're not willing to be willing and obedient, you can pray all day long. Ain't nothing happening, Captain. Under this universe and a simple promise, men and women of God, or women of old, laid themselves out before God. They prayed and God answered their prayers. Thus the cause of God was kept alive in the world by the flame of their praying. I remember them old songs that you sing back to somebody pray for me. Boy, that means something to me now, boy. See, that means that first, I ain't know what they're talking about. Yeah, mom pray. No, the reason why you here right now, somebody praying for you. You ain't wasn't always dressed up in here looking all cute like, no. No, you wasn't always like that. Somebody prayed for you. I wasn't always no preacher, you hear me? Mama prayed for me. Growing up coming late at night, boy, I'm praying for you, boy. Hallelujah, Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Somebody prayed for me, man. Somebody praying for you, too. I just ain't saying talk about mine, you know what I'm saying? Somebody prayed for me. Lord, thank God somebody prayed for me. Thus the cause of God was kept alive and well by the flame of that prayer. The second psalm contained a divine description of the establishment in God's cause through Jesus Christ. Psalms 2:6-7 says, yet have I set my king upon the holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art thy son. This day I have begotten thee. All the nations are insist with bitter and hatred against his cause. But God is described as laughing at their enfeebled hate. Watch this. Psalms 1:4. Why do the heathen rage and people imagine a vain thing? He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Do you see that? Look, in other words, the Lord is sitting there. He said, all I need y'all to do is pray, and because people going to try to block you. The Lord said, I can see the Lord just laughing. You can't stop him. You can't stop her. She's come too far. She too close to me. She know my voice. You might well give up. I don't care how big your muscles is, she ain't going. I don't care how good her weave look, he not going. Filter and all. Yeah, I know about filters, yeah. I own a salon, you know. The prayers of God's saints strengthen the unborn. Watch this. I'm hitting on. Let me go back. God damn mighty. Prayer puts God. Watch this here. I'm going to close with this. Prayer puts God in full force in the world. Uh-huh. To a prayerful man, God is present in realized force. I like that part. Prayer puts God in what? Full force in the world. Not the group full force, but in full force. God almighty. full. I'm talking about he's in total control. See, to a prayerful man or woman of God, God is present in realized force. In other words, that I know when I open my mouth, I realize God's force is about to show up. Yes. If you don't think God about to show up when you pray, you don't need to open your mouth. If you get going through something or have some issue, it might be at work or somewhere. Look, I can't say nothing. I'm going to the restroom. I'll be right back. And go in that restroom, in that stall, and just begin to pray and know and see when I come out. I'm not coming out, man, because I know when I come out, God answered it. Yeah. I come out swagging now, man. God got that. You know what I'm saying? Come on now. Y'all got. That's how you got to be with God. You know, God has answered me already. So now I can just come on out here. Man, don't worry about it, bro. God got it. I ain't got to cry. I ain't got to snot. I ain't got to go tell nobody my business. God got it.
Yeah, that's right. Woo.
The prayers of God's saints strengthen the unborn. Did you hear that? The prayers of God's saints strengthen the unborn. I knew you, for you was in your mother's womb. In other words, I got prayers that's already been praying for you before I even put you in your mama womb. See, let me tell you, let me get that person right quick. I'm going to get back to my lesson. My son, he's a year old now, gestationally. I don't know what he is. I don't know all them terms. But he was born 3 months early. All right? When he was born, hallelujah, Jesus. Right before he was born, my wife, she had to go to the doctor, and they told her she had to be on bed rest for the next 3 months. They said, you got to come in today. Today, you're going to check you in. Well, it was the next day because she had to get some stuff straight with the kids and all that kind of stuff. So she went in. And when she went in, they put the tubes on and say, we're going to be in the hospital for 3 months every day for 3 months. Yeah, that's what they told us. 3 months in the hospital every day. So first night, wasn't even there the first night. You didn't have, the monitor on her. Nurse ran in, push it. Okay, cool. Second time, happened again. Second time, went down. They called the doctor. Doctor said, we can't do it. Got to take him. Because if it go down again, we don't know if we can bring him back. It's all right. It's all right. I got it. Got my little corner. Talked to God. And this is my prayer. God, my witness. I say, Lord, you promised me a child. You promised me a son. I say, this is what we got. I say, if he ain't meant to be in here, take him right now. I'll release him to you. Take him. But if you bring him here, he can't have no disformities, can't nothing be wrong with him. He's going to be healthy and everything else. I say, but he can't be that way. Don't you bring him. I said that. Told my wife, this is what we're going to do. How many of y'all know the boy is so healthy right now is ridiculous? He cutting up right now. See, you had to hold on to God because, see, when he was born, I can put him in the palm of my hand. 1 pound, 9 ounces. Came out fighting. He like his daddy, boy. Fight. But truth of the matter, it was prayer. I know it was prayer. But I don't talk to the apostle at all. But then when the apostle asked me about it, hey, I don't talk to him about nothing like that. I fight. I don't bother the apostle. I fight on my own. He said, what's going on? What's the deal? And I told him what the deal was. And I was putting a seed in his hand. And he said, hold the seed. I'm going to pray with a seed. He said, what you want? Go for it. Here he is today. Cutting up. BJ. All right. That's all for tonight.